This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. On my desk right now is Southern Music issue number 18, Vision of the Blues from the Oxford American. For many of us, the music issue of the Oxford American is a highlight of the year. It comes with a CD. This year is no different. The focus is on the blues. The CD is titled Vision of the Blues. And to talk to us about this particular issue and the Oxford American's mission in general, Ryan Harris, the executive director, is with me, as is Maxwell George, the managing editor. Ryan and Max, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
You bet. Thanks so much for having us, Kyle.
All right, Max, let's start with you, because I think you are credited with curating the CD. Is that correct?
That's true. Myself and our editor-in-chief, Eliza Bornet, co-curated the CD.
What's wonderful about this CD, and this has been the truth with the previous 17 CDs that have come with the Oxford American Music issue, is someone might think they have a pretty narrow view of the blues, but 23 tracks later, you're going to find out this is music that goes all over the place. Was that intended to be the goal?
I mean, we definitely wanted to pay homage to, cover, and feature classic blues as you and I know it. We have a Charlie Patton song on here that you can hang your hat on as a blues fan. His Down the Dirt Road Blues, which is often pointed to as, you know, one of these songs that from all else sprang. One of these 78 RPM, early 1930s songs that brought forth the blues as we know it today. But we also wanted to demonstrate how the blues has been influenced from its African roots. We have a song from a Malayan musician on here, Segu Blue. We also wanted to show how the blues has these qualities to it that can be found in music from as far away as Greece. We have a Greek folk song recorded in 1926 that cannot really be called a blues. But yet, when you put it on a mix alongside 22 other songs that can be called blues to varying degrees, it completely fits right in. So going far afield and thinking about where the blues comes from and where it has gone and where it continues to go was very much a part of the architecture as Liza and I were putting this CD together. Another really fascinating track, I think, on the CD is one that a lot of people will know but not necessarily associate with blues, which is Alabama Shake's song, Miss You.
I'm gonna miss you, and your Mickey Mouse tattoo, and you'll be leaving in your Honda Accord.
You know, the first thing I would say about the curatorial process of putting this CD and this issue together is that the editors of the Oxford American, we do not consider ourselves blues experts. We love blues and have for a long time, and blues is a huge part of the identity of this magazine and the music issue CDs. But we really put questions like this in the hands of our contributors and advisors, and we had just too many to name, people we reached out to and said, you know, we want to approach the blues from an unexpected angle. Where would you take it? And that's how we got things like, we have a John Lee Hooker song on the CD, but it's not necessarily a rollicking Chicago electric John Lee Hooker blues. It is him in Detroit on an acoustic guitar. It's a home recording from 1949 of his sort of modernist interpretation of the traditional folk song John Henry.
John Henry.
what I love about this is you can walk into a store, you know, a chain store, and they'll have Greatest Hits of the Blues, and you're not surprised. You see Sweet Home Chicago and those things. This is almost two dozen songs worth of surprise.
Here's the thing. Like, every song is so great. It is a greatest hits in that sense. But as you've been saying and I've been saying, I mean, this is a wide-ranging and very – I mean, there's a reason we call this issue not the blues issue, but visions of the blues.
Maxwell George is the managing editor of the Oxford American. Ryan Harris, the executive director, is with us as well. And, Ryan, I want to kind of play off something Max just mentioned, that it's not called the blues issue, it's vision of the blues. And that makes me think of what the Oxford American does. It's not – the Bible of the South. It's not just the South. It's visions of the South and how the tributaries of the South spread throughout the country.
I would love to go back to that comment from before. You said, you know, if you walk into a record store or a big box retailer and you see a greatest hits of the blues album, of the blues a compilation, you probably wouldn't see any of these songs on it. And I think that really... that resonates with our identity, which is not that we're trying to be a commercial entity that sells you widgets for our own profit. You know, we are a nonprofit arts organization, and you know, the space that we occupy and our mission is really to explore the complexity and vitality of the American South. Through great storytelling, and we accomplish this through excellent writing, through the artwork that you find in the magazine, and through its music.
Does that mean subscriptions are more important than ever?
Kyle, funny you mentioned that. What a great setup. Yes, it certainly does. You know, the reality is, because we're not making a commercial magazine where our content is dictated by the wallets of niche marketers. You know, we rely heavily not only on our subscribers, which you can do if you visit oxfordamerican.org and click on the subscribe button, but certainly donors and contributed income above and beyond subscription revenue is really essential to keeping us going and bringing forth these incredible stories of the South and about the South that really view the region from obscure and often overlooked angles and places and through the eyes of overlooked people.
I want to bring Maxwell George, managing editor, back in here. You know, we've talked about John Lee Hooker and Charlie Patton, certainly familiar names in the world of blues. And there are others on here like Otis Taylor with 10 Million Slaves, which is a great song, Gil Scott-Heron. But there are a lot of women on this CD, too. Something else you don't find on a lot of blues compilations. Was that, too, an intention?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Kyle. We have Eliza Bornet, the editor of the Oxford American, took the post up in October 2015. So this is her second music issue at the top of the masthead. And she's the first female editor in the history of the magazine, our third editor. And definitely including more voices of women, both on the CD and in our writers, is a priority of Eliza's. But in general, just welcoming a diversity of voices and visions. And this all goes back to what we talked about earlier in terms of the unexpected angles and this word visions of the blues. And you're right, the female voice has been largely excluded from the popular story of the blues, but it is present from the very earliest formation of the genre all the way up through today. And we have one special thing we did with this issue. For the first time in the history of the Oxford American, we've released it with three different covers.
Yeah.
So we're celebrating three generations of blues masters, starting with John Lee Hooker, and then Bonnie Raitt is on another cover, and then we have Addia Victoria, who is a contemporary artist and probably someone that most of our readership won't have heard of, and that was new to us. Her first album came out this year. But to enshrine her alongside Bonnie Raitt and John Lee Hooker is an honor and a pleasure for us to do. And that spirit, that kind of sets the tone, I think, for our philosophy in creating this issue.
The past several CDs have been, you know, state-oriented, the music of Arkansas or Tennessee. And inevitably, when you do that, there will be criticisms, well, they didn't include this band or this artist or this person was overlooked. I wonder if it's a little bit more liberating, and I know you didn't put together those CDs, but a little bit more liberating to have something that's Vision of the Blues, that's a statement, we're not doing an end-all, be-all. These are just some of the elements of the blues. Is that a little bit more liberating to put together?
I'd like to think that. But yeah, this will be received in that way. I'm sure we will get
criticism,
which I'm excited for, and hopefully we'll be able to have conversations. You know, there's no, I was recently pointed out to me that there's not really a scorching guitar solo in any of these 23 songs, which of course is part of blues. But then I would point to Segu Blue by Beseku Kuyate, our Malayan musician who's playing a traditional Ngoni. And he's shredding. It doesn't sound like Eric Clapton or Stevie Ray Vaughan, but it is an extended improvised solo in the blues idiom of the highest caliber. So, to answer your question, it is liberating to approach the genre theme and to think about, you know, there was a lot of hand wringing about how do we even contain the blues. Why are we doing this to ourselves or putting anyone through this? But as soon as you get over that, we could kind of, again, turn to the experts and the contributors who we've been working with for years and ask them what they think we should include. And then to celebrate, you know, the blues is among the South's greatest exports and its continued evolution in the hands of artists like Otis Taylor and Rhiannon Giddens, Alabama Shakes, and Adia Victoria is as rich and unpredictable as it ever was. And I fully expect that to continue into the future. Blues is not dead or dying, though a lot of the classic musicians that we associate with it have passed on. So I think you get all of these flavors in this issue. You get the old blues, and you get stories about different aspects and genres of the blues. We have a story about where the slide guitar sound originated from. We have a story about Fidel Davis, great Arkansas bluesman, who's really, he's 90 and one of the last of his generation still singing the blues. Favorite pieces. We got to send our cherished Oxford American Music Issue contributor, Amanda Petrusich, who many people will recognize if they've read the Oxford American or if they read magazines like The New Yorker or Pitchfork. She's a top-rate music writer. I was talking to her, and I was like, you know, I sort of explained the philosophy behind it and our hesitations around this idea and how we wanted to go far afield and be unexpected and have an international flavor. And out of that conversation, it emerged that she had heard about and discovered, or, you know, heard about how in Japan there's a great fixation with the blues and with Americana. And we ended up sending Amanda to Tokyo, and she reports one of the features in the issue is a on-the-ground dispatch from Tokyo about the blues scene there. I'd love to read a short quote from that piece.
Please.
That I think captures a lot of the spirit, not just of this, her article, but of the whole issue. She writes, early on in the piece, she writes, "I couldn't quite figure out why Japanese listeners had come to appreciate and savor the blues in the way that they seem to, lavishly, devotedly. Blues is still an outlier genre in Japan, but it's revered, topical, present." So she's on the ground, walking around in Tokyo, her first time in Asia, And she's an expert music writer steeped in the history of the blues. And she has all of these encounters with both traditional and contemporary blues. And it's kind of this impressionistic piece where she's taking it all in. And she's also talking with expats that are in Japan about why they think blues has become so popular there. So things like that, that just you don't think of when you think of the blues, and I certainly don't think of when I think of the blues, but we put this issue in the hands of our contributors and collaborators, and all of these visions have sprung out of it.
I've complimented you on the CD. I've complimented you on the writing. Are you ready for what might be the oddest compliment you get ever?
Uh-oh, not sure.
The Oxford American is the best-smelling magazine on the planet. What? How does that happen? What's have you ever been told that before?
It's our secret sauce. We cannot reveal that. We have not been told that before.
We are proudly printed in Arkansas, right here in Little Rock. So I'm not sure if the local flavor has something to do with it.
All right. Ryan Harris is the executive director. Maxwell George, the managing editor of the Oxford American. You can find out much more online, and you can pick up a copy that comes with the Visions of the Blue CD. Gentlemen, continued success, and thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Kyle. We appreciate you. We appreciate the show, and appreciate everyone listening.
Much of our music on today's edition of Ozarks at Large is from a new holiday-themed CD from Daryl Shawn titled Holly Days. Daryl is the composer and artist you hear perform our theme every day. You can find out more about him and his music at darylshawn.com or at his Facebook page.